As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I am very honored and humbled to be enshrined in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame 2022 class. I appreciate it and thank you very much. Ooh-wee.
This is Nerder, She Wrote with your host, Dave Dufour.
With Mo DeKeel.
Are you ready to be entertained?
And Seth Partnow.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave Dufour, and that means it's Nerder, She Wrote. Joining me as usual, my main man, Mo DeKeel. What's up, Mo?
What's up, Dave? How are we doing today?
Not too bad. And we've got our international man of mystery, Seth Partnow, live from Bath. Not the Bath, but
that would Bath. Be really awkward. If he started podcasting from the bathtub, it would be really, really weird.
Did they fly you in for the coronation? Is that why you're there?
No, the Stats Bomb conference was on Tuesday, though I did land during would have been any time in the last like 12 days, but during the festivities. And at that one point at Heathrow while I was there, they asked for not one, but 2 minutes of silence, which I thought was a bit extra, but there we go.
Two minutes is egregious, yeah. Especially in the airport.
Well, a child in a stroller started crying immediately after that came over there. So it was like, kid gets it.
But we're going to have a show where we're going to talk about the Western Conference. But I do want to just wrap a bow on Eurobasket since that ended over the weekend. And Mo and I were both just so wrong when we did our preview for this. How about that Spanish team, man? And I don't think their Olympic team is going to be nearly this good, but that was a heck of a run from them.
That was a great run. But I would like to say you were more wrong than me because my team went a step further. So you were more wrong than I was. So, like, yay, Mo. That's no, that Spanish team is going to be – played a great game. I thought, you know what, Schroeder with the Germany squad, I thought they had a good run. Franz Wagner was really kind of impressed a lot in that run for them. And I just think, hey, man, like – the stuff's fun, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but like, there's rumors that Embiid's gonna try to join the French national team for the Olympics. That could be quite a squad.
Yeah, and FIBA uniquely in basketball, like, it'll allow you to play two bigs. Like, we could see Embiid and Gobert play together in the Olympics, and that would be big trouble for Team USA. It's one of the things where we actually lack. Like, we don't have that sort of interior size when we play internationally. I mean, it's like Bam Adebayo. Can he bang with those guys? No, definitely not. So France is going to be tough. I actually think Germany could medal in the next Olympics. I like that team so much. And Dennis Schroeder, for some reason, FIBA basketball, you put it in his hands and he knows what he's doing. But let's get to the NBA because training camp starts next week. We got media days starting on the weekend. And guys, I've got some questions about the Western Conference. Five, we're not going to say they're burning questions because it's too early for that. We ask burning questions when the season's going. Let's just say five interesting questions about the Western Conference just to set the stage for training camp, media day, and preseason, which we're only a couple of weeks away from. Somehow, the summer has run away from us. Guys, up first, a lot of teams in the league have players coming back from injury, but you could argue that there are two teams benefiting more than any others. That's the Clippers and the Nuggets. How did those teams being healthy change the West this season in, you know, comparison to last year, where obviously they weren't at full strength for the Nuggets and the Clippers? I mean, you know, I don't even know what they did and how they made the playoffs, but somehow they did. And they should theoretically all be healthy from day one. How does that change the landscape of the West?
It's two different things, really. Barring future injuries, the Clippers, we can be feel pretty good about them coming into the season healthy. I don't think there's going to be at any point in his career where we're going to be like, yep, Michael Porter Jr. is healthy. So I think that still is a question. And we just haven't seen, like, there's no reason to think that Jamal Murray will be compromised, but it's also, he hasn't played in a year and a half. And is he going to be all-star level Jamal Murray?
I think you can look at that year and a half two ways. You can say, okay, from a basketball skills perspective, probably some rust. I mean, we saw Klay Thompson with his long layoff. He looked rough for the first, I don't know, 20 games or so he played, I thought. Just didn't have his rhythm. But, you know, by the time we got to the finals, I thought he looked much better. But the other side of that coin is, Mo, it seems like guys like 18 months removed from that ACL repair tend to be back to their physical self, or at least as close as they can be to that.
Yeah, and I do want to push a little bit back on the Jamal Murray stuff on Seth's point, just because, I mean, hell, there were rumors that he might make a run in the playoffs, right? Like, there was the possibility he might come back, or he's playing 5-on-5 and those things. I think it was wise that they didn't let him work his way into this season and all of that stuff. But the Michael Porter Jr. stuff, I think that's always going to be a scary thing just because it's his back. I mean, I still have people telling me his draft medical report was one of the worst they've ever seen. So I think that's the kind of stuff where you're like, all right, well, we're beginning to see some of it. But the most important thing for the Nuggets is that it actually kind of puts everybody in their proper place. You know, and I think it moves Aaron Gordon to being kind of more a fourth option than anything else. I think the additions of Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope all help this team in a way where, like, I look at them and I look at the Clippers, assuming they can stay healthy. And I think they have more questions of, can this team stay healthy than the Nuggets? I think with those two teams, if they're fully healthy all year, I mean, they're contenders. They change the West.
Yeah, with Michael Porter Jr., I mean, listen, no back surgery is a good back surgery. He's had three. And that's the part that I think you have to be really worried about. When he's out there and playing, he has contributed positively on the offensive end. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to get to the point physically with the back where he's going to be an average defender defensively. But it doesn't matter as much because they've got Bruce Brown that they can throw out there. Now they have KCP. And having Jamal Murray back on the offensive end, I think, will ultimately help them on the defensive end too, because they're going to be putting more pressure on those other teams. But I do want to dig into the Clippers a little bit, because Kawhi Leonard, you know, when he got hurt, I mean, this guy was a top five player. Seth, look, man, you do the tiers when guys are hurt. You sort of give him a pass. I mean, what's your expectation of Kawhi? I mean, he's older now. He's already been sort of, I'm not going to call him hobbled by injury, but he's had to load manage due to various, you know, issues with that leg, and now coming off an ACL. What do you think we should expect from Kawhi?
I think maybe different stages of their career, but I think this is a similar, if for different reasons, it's a similar thing with Murray. I don't think, to Mo's point, I don't think the physical problem with Murray is necessarily an issue. It's just he was in such a great, like, groove as a player. And getting back to that is more would be my worry. And for some reason, for similar reasons, like, Kawhi is not someone in the later stages of his career who has been, like, especially relying on explosiveness. He's been I am much stronger than you, and I can take the ball and do whatever I want with it because I have enormous mitts, and that's that all still works. It's just a matter of, having not played for this time, can he get back to that rhythm? And can he get back to that in a way that fits with other players on his team? Because much more than Murray, he is kind of a everyone watch me kind of bounce a guy into the spot where I want to and then shoot a jumper over him kind of offense.
And the Clippers kind of have a lot of those guys, which is to their benefit, especially come playoff time. But I do think the other thing, Mo, I worry that they might have too many guys. Like, who's going to close games for the Clippers? I think that that's something that, the you know, from a chemistry standpoint, they'll have to be concerned about by the time you get to the playoffs.
I don't think that's as big of a concern. Like, go back and watch the Laker team that won the championship in 2020. They constantly changed who was closing lineups. Frank Vogel would consistently go with whoever was rolling well in that game. You know, obviously the tent pole guys will be, I think it's pretty safe to say, if Kawhi Leonard's healthy, he'll be playing at the end of the game. Same for Paul George. You know, I think after that, it gets really interesting with where are we at. And I think it comes down to Ty Lue's going to figure out the right mix and who's the guys that can go together and things like that. I don't think it's as big a concern. I think it's almost something that's going to throw other teams off, knowing that, like, knowing the other team's closing lineup knows I know how I'm going to close. But now I don't know how they're going to close. Now I have to figure out, do I have to adjust? You know, is there a guy out there that they have that means I have to have more defense than offense out there, or the other way around? I don't think it's as big of a concerning detail for Ty Lue. I think it's actually a blessing.
And I think Ty Lue is a very good coach to have in this situation, because he's always kind of an experimental coach. So it's not going to be they'll have chopped and changed and gone matchups and tried stuff all year. So it's not like they're going to get to the playoffs. It's like, who's our closing lineup? Oh my goodness, this is so different than how we've played all year. It's like, oh, we've been doing, you know, we've been playing the guys who make the most sense tonight on any given night all year. So I don't think it'll be a change in the same way as it might be for another team in a way that's disruptive.
And just to go back to the injury stuff, we're all focused on Kawhi Leonard, but we also got to realize Paul George hasn't been healthy. You know, from his time from being with the Clippers, 2020 only played 48 games. 21 played 54 games. 2022 played only 31 games. Like, injury concerns are this team's concern. Like, that's, you know, the product on the court and how they play, I think they're kind of set up. But if they're fully healthy, like, this is a team I look at and I go, like, there's no reason this team can't get to the finals.
Yeah, and Norman Powell coming back from injury. I mean, it never even got to see all these guys together. The Clippers are fascinating. They feel like one of the two or three teams that could win a title.
Last year, the Miami Heat were a team where, like, if they get to the playoffs and they're healthy, .. But we said this is the start of the year, and it played out over the course of the year. They didn't have the roster to help those guys get to the playoffs healthy. The Clippers do. Like, that's the flip side of having those dudes is, okay, well, Kawhi's gotta sit for 5 or 6 days to get, you know, the knee or the quad right. All right, cool. We can still go out and win games with, you know, Robert Covington and whoever else, and we'll be fine. So I think that they are well set up to kind of manage their way through the season.
And there's still a move to be made. Like, if they feel like they need something, they can always kind of pair Luke Kennard and Marcus Morris for something, you know, or just spin one off separately. Like, they have a ace up their sleeve. Like, if they need to make a move, they can go ahead and try to make a move. I don't feel like they're just in a situation where they're so immediately stuck.
All right. Well, that was the first question. So let's get to the next one. Guys, should Golden State be considered the favorites to win the West? We just laid out a hell of a case, I think, for the Clippers. They could have the best player in the West if Kawhi is, you know, back to full strength. I think the Nuggets, they also have an argument. They got the best player in the West, 2-time MVP Nikola Jokic. But Steph Curry is Steph Curry, and we just saw the Warriors do what they do. I'm expecting some internal improvement. I don't know. I have them slated as favorites.
I think you have to. I think they got to be the favorites just on the fact of the question marks with the Clippers is health. You know, with the Nuggets, is that enough? You know, do they have enough to really combat them? I think, let's not get mistaken, the Warriors have some questions to answer, but I think Klay Thompson's going to be better this year than he was last year, having a full, having kind of a year under his belt, a little bit in the recovery and really coming back from the Achilles tear. I think that's something that I always kind of think the next year is always the most important year for them. Granted, Draymond's going to be a little bit older. They lost guys that mattered. Otto Porter Jr. was really helpful to them. Gary Payton II was really helpful for them. But now it just means how far this team is going to go is going to be how well do the young guys develop. And I'm looking at James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody. If those guys really kind of step forward and really can kind of fill those voids, they don't need massive games from them, but can fill those voids where they can help defensively, they can plug in and score from time to time and things like that, goes a long way for them.
I think the biggest question about them is Draymond. I mean, like we sort of saw first half of the season, he was outstanding. He gets hurt, misses the most rest of the year, is mediocre to bad for much of the playoffs. Is that fair? And then kind of the gets benched for a little bit in the finals, comes back in and is great the rest of the finals. So for an undersized player who is not young and has started to, you know, pick up injuries here and there over the course of the season, that has to be their biggest concern, because regardless of what they get from the young guys, and I'm expecting big things from Kuminga, but especially Moses Moody. I think he's a guy who is has the profile of someone who can really help a team like Golden State. But all that kind of doesn't matter, because Draymond is the person who makes that team work defensively at a championship level. And he's just not replaceable. And we're coming to a stage where every season there's going to be that question about him.
Can't replace him, but I think Kevon Looney does a great job of coming close to it. And I think Looney's rise and them re-signing him, like, that was the guy I was like, you guys better re-sign him, because that was the dude who I thought, like, they really need to keep, because he can kind of maintain that. And at times in the playoffs, he was better on the floor than Draymond, and I thought that was an important aspect there. So I'm with you in that Draymond matters in that sense, but like, I feel like Looney can make up for a lot of that.
Yeah, you know, we don't bring up versatility enough when we talk about Looney. Looney is a slow-footed big. I mean, there's no, you know, we don't need to, you know, sort of sugarcoat it, but he can still switch, right? Like, he doesn't get killed on a switch.
Starts in space well.
Great rebounder, especially offensive rebounding, which, as we talked about often last season, is just so important now. I will say this. If they can get anything out of Wiseman, I mean, he is an athlete. And you know, I saw him a little bit at Summer League, and I don't know. Nothing popped for me there, but if they can get anything out of Wiseman, It's such a benefit to this team, because it means that, that, you know, they can save some of those miles on Draymond. He can podcast a little more during the regular season, right? Like, I think during the playoffs, they just needed to get him to lay off the podcast and he would have been fine.
Do you think we're going to get the live podcast during games from Draymond? Is Draymond going to mic himself up during a game and podcast at the same time?
I do believe that the NBA's media rights would prohibit that unless he had written consent from
it's
the
new
NBA.
New media to, time, Dave. Yeah, come on, man. Media rights are out. New media's in.
So of the three teams we've talked about so far, okay, the Clippers, the Nuggets, and the Warriors, are those three of the top four seeds in the West to you guys?
I think so. And I think there's a team that probably lurking that I think is going to be really good in the regular season. I don't think it's the team you think, Dave.
I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about Minnesota.
Oh, you. Yeah, it is the team you are assuming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Come on, man.
I think the Timberwolves, the Timberwolves are a team that's going to be in the mix for top four.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to, the previous season's Western Conference Finals champions, the Phoenix Suns. And guys, you know, the Robert Sarver situation had hung over this team last season. It's going to continue into this year, even though he's going to be suspended all season. They're going to be hearing questions all year, as long as he's the owner of the team. There's going to be a huge distraction. They were 64-18 last year. But it sort of feels like the Suns' window has closed on them, has it?
I wonder how much we were reacting to how bad the vibes were. You know, we're for the Nerder podcast, we've become sort of team vibes about everything. And, you know, they had bad vibes, whatever was going on with Ayton. And then Also, I mean, the fact that there's been the reports, and who knows if they're true or not, that there was like some COVID going around the team, and that certainly would kind of explain the listlessness against Dallas to end that series. So I think that we, like, are we overreacting to like one bad week for them?
I don't know.
I mean, we should certainly react because at like from a window standpoint or a hallway, as we like to call it in this podcast standpoint, you know, Chris Paul is if we have questions about Draymond Green every year, we have to have even more questions about Chris Paul every year. And that, like, if he's not that guy, their window is closed. But I think saying, like, declaring it slam shut now, I think is premature.
I think, yeah, I think people are very quick to pour dirt on them and say it's all over. Not quite the same scenario, but somewhat similar in the sense of, yo, the Milwaukee Bucks got completely embarrassed by the Miami Heat in that playoff series, and everybody was off the Bucks the next year. The Bucks, no, they're going to be terrible in the playoffs, things like that. And then they went on to win the championship against these Phoenix Suns. This could be a similar situation. It is just a question of the concerns I have are, you know, how are you going to save Chris Paul's minutes? Because he's getting up there in age. Like, he can't keep up. You saw what New Orleans did to him. Press him full court. Let's really kind of tire him out. And that may not be something you do in the regular season, but it's something you could do in the playoffs to get to his legs. I think there's a lot of stuff there that you can kind of look at and go like, man, there are some issues. I don't want to say it's closed. And I could see them kind of having a big bounce back year sort of deal. I think Monty Williams is a terrific coach. I think DeAndre Ayton, $133 million, that's enough for you to stop complaining, right? Like, you should be good. Any ill will is gone now because you have $133 million worth of Kleenexes. You know, and I think you're able to fix all that. I think, you know, Devin Booker is still unbelievable. I think it's going to come down to what is Chris Paul and how does he hold up all season? And just, I know I went long, but just one quick second. Chris Paul is freaking Jason Voorhees. Every time we think he's dead, he comes back, right? The Clippers.
He's also pretty slow. Is that what you're getting?
Well, look, Houston sent him to Oklahoma City because it's over, right? And then he had these monster years and things like that. Like, I feel like he continues to kind of come back to life when we think he's dead. So I wouldn't be shocked if they have a big year. I'm not going to say the window's closed on them.
I just wanted, there's a great analogy to the Bucks, actually. It's different stages of a team. But I think the big criticism of the Bucks was, okay, people were doing the psychoanalysis. But really, when you got down to it, it's like, hey, they have this one way they want to play, and they're not going to deviate from that. And then the whole next year, kind of uncharacteristically for him and his entire coaching career, like, Mike Budenholzer tried a bunch of different stuff. Didn't always work all the time, but they had other ways to play in the playoffs. I think the Suns kind of had that. We have our system, and we do our system. And that, like, coming up with a way to play small ball, maybe, or a way to play two bigs, or just something different than like the four out around Ayton, having that change up, that off speed pitch. I think that's how they kind of emulate the Bucks.
Yeah, and I like hearing that they're in on Bojan Bogdanović. I mean, it will stink for them to give up Jay Crowder, but I do think Bojan's playmaking will give them a little bit extra, you know, a little bit of what they were missing. Another guy who can move the ball, but also can get you a bucket. They needed just a little bit more playmaking in the playoffs, and they would have been able to take some of that load off Chris Paul, and it would have made a big difference.
And I think that's the Bojan Bogdanović sweepstakes actually can be a I know we said five questions and this wasn't one of them, but this is like we kind of sneak in. They could, yeah. he where he lands can swing a lot of things. Either in the West or the Eastern Conference, a team that could kind of really need him might be find some usefulness out of him. I think he's really out there and can really change the game for a team.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and get back to more questions after this.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
These are combos keep the feet light. This is it.
In the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame 2022 class. I appreciate it and thank you very much. Ooh-wee. Man, first of all, I'd like to give thanks to the man above. Man, without him, none of this be possible. A kid from the east side of Chicago who made it all the way to Springfield, Massachusetts. Incredible. Like many enshrined in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, my basketball journey was far from smooth, and it was against all odds. My path was filled with obstacles and doubts, yet it was also a beautifully paved road, filled with inspirational men and women who guided me, shaped every step of the way. Isaiah Thomas,
a Chicago legend.
First time I saw Isaiah, I was in sixth grade. My grammar school basketball coach, Donald Pittman, didn't mince words when he told me,
Tim, you pattern your game after Isaiah.
I certainly tried. Yolanda Griffin, another Chicago hoops legend. Played basketball at the same high school, Carver Military Academy. My other presenter, Nate Tiny Archibald. Yes. Chris Mullen and Mitch Richmond. Run TMC.
Legendary, baby. We was legendary.
When I came into the NBA, those two guys taught me everything. How to be a pro, how to take care of myself. And they would ask me, Tim, how great do you really want to be? See, Mully and Rock, they made me who I am today. And Run TMC, man, we were ahead of our time. Early in life, you might say the ball didn't bounce my way. My parents, Mom Gwendolyn, Donald Hardaway, divorced when I was in grammar school. But what I did know, because I saw it firsthand, was the role and sacrifice my mom made for my brother Donald and I.
My mom always talked about her boy.
She took days off from work and didn't get paid. She wanted to make sure I was safe, so I knew where I was going. My dad, another Chicago hoop legend. Yes, sir. He made sure no one messed with us, me or my brother. Dad and Mom, I love you to death. Without you all,
this wouldn't be a night that's happening.
I want to thank my brother Donald. Like Pat Riley once said, adversity introduces a man to himself. And everybody think that they not my number one fan.
That's my number one fan right there.
To my three wonderful children, Tim Jr., Naya and me. My Hall of Fame coach at UTEP, Don Haskins, who made a historic mark on the game and on society when he started five African Americans against Adolph Rupp and the Kentucky Wildcats
in the 1966 NCAA title game.
The innovator, Don Nelson. He lied to every team and said my knees were shot, so I would fall to the Warriors with the 14th pick, and he drafted me. Thank you, Mickey Arison, the Heat organization, and Pat Riley for trusting me to take the team to the next level when everybody thought I was done. He's not here today.
I want y'all to really hear this. He was my confidant, a father figure, and a guy I could always talk to.
And he was one of the greatest agents in the business. Great, great, great Henry Thomas. Lastly, a huge thank you to Jerry Colangelo, Adam Silver, and the late David Stern.
Men who never wavered in their belief in me, even when it wasn't always popular. Thank you.
I want to say this. This is bigger than Tim Hardaway. This is for the South Side of Chicago. South Side? You all, I can't name all you all, but you all know who y'all are, and I love y'all to death. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for sure.
Okay, guys, a couple of younger teams, Dallas and Memphis, and both of them had great runs last year. Memphis was electric. What should we expect from them next season or this coming season? I think both of these teams got worse, but both teams could expect internal development. Got worse from a roster construction standpoint, but should see internal improvement. So my expectations are all over the place, guys. What are you guys thinking about Dallas and Memphis? We'll start with Dallas.
I want to jump in here a little bit.
You're going to push back on got worse?
I want to hear you explain it.
Well, they lost Jalen Brunson. Dallas lost Jalen Brunson. Right. That's a big loss.
Yeah.
And I think that makes them worse. Okay. We'll see how Christian Wood works out, but I worry about the defensive end for them.
Mm-hmm. And then Memphis. Now,
he should be an upgrade over Dwight Powell. Well, Memphis, I think they got worse, you know, because they lost De'Anthony Melton. And they lost Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson was instrumental to the quality of their defense last season. I mean, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., as much as I love him, he only plays 27, 28 minutes a night.
Well, he's going to be out for a big chunk.
And he's going to be out.
I'm
not going to count that against him.
No, but that's, I mean, in terms of regular season, like,
They'll perform worse because of that.
I mean, like, their ability to be a first round home court team, thank you. It takes a severe hit just by the fact that, like, they're not going to have their second best player for a big chunk of the year.
Yeah. And then not have Kyle Anderson to come off the bench to fill in those minutes.
But, like, that's the thing for me, though. Like, Kyle Anderson only played 18 minutes in the playoffs. Like, it wasn't like massive, massive minutes. He wasn't a 30 minute guy. He wasn't this massive. Like, I don't feel that the De'Anthony Melton, you know, even less, 17 minutes. Don't get me wrong. Every minute counts in the playoff games and things like that. I think those are replaceable in terms of the internal growth you're talking about. I think my major pushback was more on the Memphis side than the Dallas side, but like, that's why I was like, you know, but I think there's an
argument. there, Mo, that they can make up for it through internal development. I mean, I just don't know.
Yeah, I think Memphis gets better if they could just find somebody to take Dylan Brooks off their hands. But the
that's my line usually.
listen, don't get me started. I think when you look at the expectations, I think both of these teams are going to have good seasons and not have home court advantage because of just how deep the Western Conference is. I think this is kind of the thing we have to look at with expectations is the West is freaking deep. Two teams, you know, like, listen, the Clippers are going to rise up. They didn't make the playoffs last year. Like, when you're looking at these things, it's very interesting and watching how all of this kind of develops. I think they're going to have good years and not have home court in the first round.
I am less confident in Dallas. Like, Memphis will be fine, I think, because they have, even if maybe they got a little worse from a talent perspective, they still have a lot of dudes who can play. And I think they're smart to kind of cycle instead of, oh man, we can't lose Kyle Anderson and then sign him to a contract. I think they're smart to cycle that and like let's give Zaire Williams some more time. Let's see what we have in Jake LaRavia. Like I think that's a wise way to run a franchise, even if it's maybe a little bit of a short term hit. Dallas, like we've been concerned about them basically for the entire Luka era in terms of how much they ask Luka to do on offense. And they haven't addressed that and in fact have gone the other way.
And yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie, I think, is one of the most important players in the West this season because his athleticism started to really turn after the trade to Dallas. I thought he had a nice finish to the regular season. I thought he was decent in the playoffs. But he's super important for them because he kind of is the guy that you would assume could step into that Jalen Brunson role and take on some of that usage.
I see your Spencer Dinwiddie, and I'm going to raise you a Tim Hardaway Jr., who there only played 42 minutes a game, 42 games last season, had the broken foot, missed a ton of time. Like, that's the guy. That's the guy that has to have a big year for them. You know, didn't shoot it well from three, but the previous year shot 39% from three, an important piece there. Like, he's going to have to be better on the ball in that second side when Luka kicks out. Because that was really the best part of their attack, right? Was Luka attacking, nothing there, kick it out, second side, boom, go. And I think the offense will get better just in the fact of having Christian Wood, a guy that can space the floor out and things like that. I'm with you, Seth. I wish they found a way to I would have loved to have seen them get Goran Dragic and add, you know, a little more playmaking on that side and get the ball out of Luka's hands and things like that. I still think we'll see some of that, but it won't be as effective without Jalen Brunson. But adding Christian Wood kind of creates more space for Luka to attack where it's not so easy to just collapse on him and opens up the opportunity. The defense, good luck.
I think that from a
defense was secretly why they were so successful. And that's the thing. I mean,
And now you're bringing back Tim Hardaway Jr. and Christian Wood and saying, well, the offense is going to get better and the defense will still work. And okay.
I mean, but we didn't believe the defense was going to work last year. They also added JaVale McGee. One of their biggest problems in the Western Conference Finals was not being able to rebound. Like they've added at least a rim protector, however your opinions are of McGee, he's proven to be, at least late in his career, pretty decent. You know,
I like JaVale. I think JaVale's going to catch a lot of lobs from Luka.
I think
he's never had a guy like that.
I think there's going to be different things there. So I think, like, you know, the defense is going to probably be a work in progress. I still think they're going to have a pretty good year. I just think anybody that expects home court advantage for either of these two teams after the great season they had last year to think that they're going to get that this year and it's a disappointment if they don't have home court advantage is mistaken. I just think the West is stacked. I think
how many West teams would you say have more talent than Dallas?
Ooh, good question.
Now I think the easy ones are Golden State, Denver, Memphis, Clippers, Minnesota. Phoenix. I think Phoenix has more talent. I think New Orleans has more talent. So then we're you know,
now we're at eight.
Yeah, and just from a pure this is my everything kind of gelled. This has kind of been the Luka era story with Dallas is they've kind of mixed some stuff together and it's kind of worked because Luka's that good. But given just the overall talent in the league right now, that is a tightrope. And it doesn't, you know, you're going to fall off at some time. And this year seems like a good year might be.
But you look at it this way too, though. I think like when you say New Orleans, New Orleans is still a wild card. With what's going to come from Zion, things like that, they flash in the second half of the season. Who knows? Like, there's a lot of stuff there. I think you have to kind of watch some of those things. I think the other thing that's really important that we have not seen yet in the Luka era is Luka coming into camp in shape. I think, you know, assuming that he rolls in from Eurobasket and has not just partied for 3 weeks straight, rolls in from Eurobasket into training camp in great shape, I think that's a good bump for them to start the season. Because, look, they got to bank games early. That's going to be the important thing. Some of these other teams are going to take a while to gel and figure stuff out. They got to bank games early while they can.
All right. And finally, guys, the last question. And this one, I don't know, it's a weak question, but it's going to get us talking. Who are your wild card teams in the West? You know, what's a team that could make a run, let's say? A surprise conference finalist, a surprise 50-win team. I mean, you mentioned New Orleans, Seth, and that's the team that I sort of have circled. It's about Zion. Adding a healthy Zion to that team from last season, pretty appealing to me. I think that that's a team that could maybe do something. I don't know if they have the shooting to, you know, to make a conference finals, but they could surprise people.
I mean, that's the obvious answer. How about the Portland Trailblazers?
All right.
God damn both of you. You earlier with my Minnesota stuff. You with the Portland stuff now. Both of you stealing my thunder.
Is this about Jeremy Grant? it can't be about Anthony Simons. I mean, Anthony Simons, Damian Lillard, defensive backcourt. It just it does not give me a lot of confidence.
I think that, again, we're talking about like just talent level, figure that, I mean, this is a little bit of bet on Damian Lillard having rectified the, you know, according to reports, an abdominal problem that's bothered him for years. So maybe we get a better version of Dame than we saw last year. We've got some really interesting, like other backcourt players, and Josh Hart and Gary Payton, Jeremy Grant, kind of moving back to the ideal Jeremy Grant role, I think, as that sort of third to fourth guy. I mean, is this going to be a conference finals level team? No, but would it shock me if they ended up with more regular season wins than Dallas?
Yeah, they could be they're probably in that play-in range. I mean, we laid out who we see at the top of the West. I mean, one game playoff, Damian Lillard. I mean, I'd take that money.
I mean, the other thing too is just the guys they added. Like, first, I like Josh Hart for that team. I think adding Gary Payton the second helps defensively with this squad. I know he's starting the year a little bit injured, coming off of a surgery, but I think that goes a long way. I think the when I look at this squad, I think they got some interesting pieces there. Dave, I'm with you on New Orleans. I kind of said it already earlier, but I want to see more of it. You know, like, listen, we've seen a lot of teams flash real quickly and then fall apart. And now you're adding a big piece in Zion. You have to make that work, right? Like, New Orleans figured out how to make it work without Zion. Now you got to add Zion to the piece. Okay, what does that mean for Brandon Ingram? What does that mean for CJ McCollum? How does that evolve things? You know, is Jose Alvarado going to be a dude that we're going to continue to kind of look at? Obviously, we're all going to love Herb Jones. You know, hopefully he continues to make a progress and growth and develop. But I think sometimes just automatically going like, oh, they're just going to add Zion. Boom, it's a mix. That's a hard guy to add with how they won last year, because it was basically, yo, Ingram, go and be a one-on-one guy and go get it. Go get buckets for us. Now with Zion, you lose some of that spacing. It gets a little more complicated and things like that. I find it very interesting. So, like, I can see them being a wild card team. I think they're going to have a shot at it, but it's they got questions.
My favorite song of the summer, the hot summer jam was it more about Phoenix? And that's sort of powering a little bit of my skepticism about both New Orleans and Dallas. Is, you know, they're both of those teams are getting like some respect from either pushing or beating Phoenix, and is like, if it's more about Phoenix kind of falling apart, how much credit do you get for standing next to it?
Right. Hard for us to hammer Phoenix and also praise New Orleans and Dallas to a certain degree. I get that. You know, one team we didn't mention, which if you look at the West and the teams that are going to tank, the Lakers are going to make the play-in, right? I guess at least theoretically. I mean, they would have to tank out of it.
I think they got to be healthy.
Are we completely overlooking the Lakers? Because when last week
I'm just done talking
we
about
saw him, LeBron was so good. Anthony Davis is, you know, he's okay. Still a good player. They got Pat Beverly. Are we overlooking them at all? Or we just expect nothing.
I mean, look at the rest of the roster after that, right? Like, they got Pat Beverly, Dennis Schroeder. Okay, great. Not a lot of shooting, not a lot of wing defense. Like, there's a lot of questions in that area. And look, LeBron's, if we're going to have questions about CP, LeBron's aging and getting injured at a regular rate with the Lakers to the problem there. You know, they need 60 games from both Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Hopefully they get it to really kind of make noise. You have those two guys, they're a playoff team for sure. But let's don't sleep on one team. You know, this is just going to throw the curveball out there.
I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I think, you know, the Kangs.
Yes.
Got a chance. I mean, I think there's an ability.
Where's Jay King?
You know, I think, Jay's kind of infiltrated my mind here a little bit. But I think you look at it as a potential playing team. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. We know four teams in the West are tanking. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's going to be a battle for 10th. And I think there's no reason to think De'Aaron Fox got rolling at the end of the season with him and Sabonis. There's some fun stuff they can do. Defense, they're going to have to figure out, but they've brought in some pieces, you know, that are helpful guys, young pieces. I like the Kevin Huerter trade and things like that. Going to be tough to figure out what you do with Davion Mitchell and all those things and rotation stuff. I haven't fully figured out, but like, put their roster up against the Lakers and like, how much are we really kind of saying the Lakers are that much better besides LeBron and AD? Well, I mean, like besides that, like where's how far down do we go till we get to the next best Laker?
Look, man, I like Keegan Murray a lot. I think that, God, I forgot about the Kings. I always forget about the Kings. The Kings could.
They've allowed us to forget about them for a long time. Let's be fair.
That's fair.
And they better not make me look bad. Start the season 0-20 or some shit after I say this.
I'll tell you, they're going to score. The Kings are going to score. Like, they're going to have a good offense. And Mike Brown is a hell of a defensive coach. So if anybody was going to coach this team up defensively to passable. I don't know if they're 12th in offense, 15th, 16th in defense, could they do that? Probably not. Could they be 20th in defense?
I think they could have a top 10 offense. So let me ask you, Seth, what does that mean they got to have in terms of a defensive rating for us to be like, what's the lowest defensive rating they can have where we could be like, it's still pretty good.
I mean, as long as if you're 10th best offense, as long as you're not rock bottom defensively, like you could be like the 22nd defense and you're in the range of playing.
Let's go deuce. I'm rooting for 22. Let's go.
All right. Well, you heard it here. Mo is predicting a Kings finals run.
On this set team would ever make outlandish claims about a Bay Area team making a finals run?
This squad? Nobody.
Nobody here. And you guys got anything else before we wrap up?
No.
Yeah, we'll have preseason games real soon.
I'm excited to have this conversation about the Eastern Conference next week. Can we promise that's what we're going to do?
Yeah. The next episode, we're going to do similar questions about the Eastern Conference as we set up the season. We're almost there. Summer's over. First day of fall. Hope you guys enjoy the weather as it starts to cool off. For Seth and Mo, I'm Dave. This has been Nerder. She wrote. On the Athletic NBA Show.
Smile, smile that smile deep inside inner child. Feel the air. Blow your hair. You don't care. Life is just a carnival. This is the ride you get to take for free.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.